Open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, the 16th chapter. John's Gospel, chapter 16. I want to begin reading with verse 7. Jesus speaking these words, they're written in red. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, Jesus said, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Jesus said, I will depart and send the Holy Spirit, the Helper, to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. I want to speak to you on a subject that we don't hear much about anymore. The conviction of the Holy Spirit. The conviction of the Holy Spirit. The average Christian today has very little knowledge of the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that's available for his life. The average Christian today, even those who've had a legitimate experience, they will say, according to their own testimony, I've been born again. I have trusted the Lord Jesus with my life. I'm absolutely sure when I die, I will go to heaven. I know the gospel. I celebrate it. I have embraced it. And I have everlasting life because of it. Even many who have that testimony have no sensitivity to the Spirit of God and do not enjoy the benefit of the conviction of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives. Everybody can say, oh me. How sad it is that so many believers who have access to God through his Son Jesus, who have access to the truth that he gives us in Holy Scripture, still can go a day without any sensitivity to the Spirit of God as he might want to speak personally to us and convict us or convince us of higher truth than we're walking in. An insensitivity to the Spirit. Some words used in the Amplified Bible to describe the Holy Spirit: helper, comforter, counselor, an advocate, an intercessor, a strengthener, a standby. And he is sometimes the disturber of our comfort if we know his convicting power in our life. And on occasion, he's like an arresting officer. He will convict us when we go astray. You know, many believers live every day of their life just the same as they would if there was no Holy Spirit at all at work in their life. I've heard it said about some churches, and what an indictment it is against any church that could be described this way, but many churches would continue to go on just like they are right now, and nobody would notice any difference whatsoever, even if the Holy Spirit were to be removed completely from that church. Now, that's a sad indictment. Now, I plan on preaching good today. I mean, we can already tell where this is going. Wow. Oh, thank you, sister. I was waiting on it. Story is told of a young married couple, husband and wife, had fallen in love and set their wedding date. They were married and they moved into their first house. It was just a cottage, but it was special to them. It was their love nest. And they noticed the day they moved in and unpacked that they could look out of the window in the kitchen. And just outside the window was a tree. And in the tree was a bird nest where a dove was nesting. And they had grown up in the church. They knew the Lord, and they knew that the dove was a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So when they could look out their kitchen window and see the dove in his nest just in their backyard, they took that as a sign from God that he was blessing their marriage, because the dove, a symbol of the Holy Spirit, was watching over them in their marriage. But like many marriages, sometimes they would get into arguments, and the arguments would become heated, and the house would be filled with noise. And they noticed whenever they would fight in the house, the dove would fly away. And he would stay gone for a while before returning. And they noticed that as a pattern, that every time they would fight and argue, the dove would leave. Finally, God used that dove to convict that couple. And one day, after a heated argument and the dove had left and had not come back for quite some time, the convicting power of God said to that couple, "You've got to change." And the husband said to the wife, "We must adjust our lifestyle to the dove, or one day he may fly away and never come back." We don't hear much anymore about the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that helps us as children of God get our act together and live a life befitting of the label Christian. Now notice, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin. He will convince the world of its sinful state and its need for a Savior. He did not say when the Holy Spirit comes into the world, he will condemn the world. He will convict but not condemn. If you're waiting on God to clobber you with a big stick, you'll wait a long time. We all know John 3:16, but John 3:17 is just as good. It says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So the Holy Spirit is not condemning anyone, and neither am I. But the Holy Spirit, by the promise of Jesus, will convince all of us when there's an adjustment that should be made in our life if we want to be children of God. As a boy growing up, we were exposed to the power of God on a weekly basis. We went to church and we had raw power. We didn't know what to do with it. We abused it, mishandled it. We were pompous and arrogant because of it. Just didn't know any better. But we had it. But it's been so long since it's been a common thing, something that is a frequent occurrence in our life, when the convicting power of God will hit a man or a woman and cause them to have a revelation right there on a dime, on the spot, like the prodigal son had finally, after he had squandered so much of his life away. The Bible says he came to himself and the convicting power of God hit that boy and he said, "My God, what have I done? What was I thinking?" When's the last time you've been arrested by the Holy Spirit? The convicting power of God that would stop you in your tracks and cause you to fall to your knees with humility and repentance, because the Holy Spirit has made you aware that you have displeased God. Heavy. Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, knew what it was like in the year that King Uzziah died. Isaiah the prophet said, "I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up. And when I saw him," Isaiah said, "woe is me, for I'm an unclean man and I live among unclean people." That's what happens when you see the Lord in a fresh way. You can't see him in his fresh glory without realizing, by contrast, how sinful we are as a people and how holy he is as the Lord that's high and lifted up. He said, "woe is me." The New Living Translation says it like we would today. Isaiah said, "it's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man." Now that's the testimony and the confession of a man who's just freshly been touched by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Stop you in your tracks, cause you to fall on your knees and change your mind and change your way of living. And hello, it doesn't just happen to sinners. But once we become his child, he continues to work his goodness and his grace from the inside out. The Bible teaches this as a truth. Conscience, not customs and laws, is what prevents people from doing wrong. Our conscience. But we're living in a culture to where anything goes, even among people who know God. Now you can say amen right there. Because now I'm preaching the truth. I know some of you may not recognize the truth, but I'm telling it like it really is. Conscience was given to us by God. And that's what he gave us to prevent us from doing wrong. But the Bible says that we can continue in our stubborn ways and not yield to the Holy Spirit when he convicts us. We can resist him, in fact. Imagine that. God allows us the option of resisting him. In fact, he will give you breath, life, and strength to rebel against him. And he will still allow you to survive that. But he gives us a conscience. Sadly, though, this culture, perhaps more than any previous generation, has pushed the envelope to the edge, to the point that Romans 1 speaks of our conscience being seared. It's as if we don't even have one anymore. We have been so insensitive to the Spirit of God. We've said no, 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 over and over again, until the Bible says we can reach a place to where we're turned over for every evil work. Don't even have a conscience anymore. We have no sense of right or wrong anymore. Now, the Bible teaches this principle. Conscience, not customs and laws, is what prevents people from doing wrong. Romans 2 and verse 15, the New Living Translation said, they demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, for their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or tell them they're doing right. So we are all born with that barometer of the spirit and the soul, a conscience God gives us. We were born with a foundational knowledge of what is right and what is wrong. And that's enough to get us into the kingdom of God. We're all born with a measure of faith. We can be born again with that measure. And then after we come into the kingdom, the Holy Spirit begins to teach us and gives us daily instruction on how to live a life worthy to be called a Christian. Now, I'm not condemning anybody. I'm not sowing any judgment. Even Jesus didn't judge people. There is a scripture where God said, I judge no one, but I've turned all judgment over to the Son. And what did Jesus do with the authority of judgment that the Father gave him? He said, Father, put all their sins on me and let me be judged for their sin. So there is no judgment and no condemnation. That's the beautiful thing about being a child of God, is our Father loves us so much that when He wants to improve our life, when He wants to give us instruction that can improve the quality of our life, not only everlasting life, but even while we're here on earth, He gives us the Holy Spirit, that gentle dove, to coach us, to instruct us, and to teach us all truth, to comfort us when we need it, to counsel us when we need it. It's just a benefit of being a child of God. And we should appreciate it, be aware of it, and we should on a daily basis practice being sensitive to the Spirit of God who convicts us when we need that in our life. Now, if we are sensitive to God, we will be like David, the psalmist, who had a revelation of how sinful he was because of all the times he had blown it. And he said at one point, in prayer to God, please don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. He was that sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But then it's a different story found in Acts chapter 7 in verse 51. There the prophet was preaching and said, you stubborn people, you are heathen at heart and deaf to the truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's what your ancestors did, and so do you. The prophet speaks again. You know, I'm going to hurry right on through this. Just so. You know, I'm not enjoying this as much as I used to. In fact, I thought I'd be having much more fun than this right now. I don't know about you, but I want this over with quickly. So I'm just going to stick with the word. The prophet Jeremiah in chapter 2 and verse 13. God speaking through the prophet said, for my people have committed two evils. Number one, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Forsaken God. And number two, they have hewn out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And that's a picture of our lives sometimes when we're insensitive to God. And notice God said, my people have committed two evils. He didn't say the devil's crowd. God said, my people have committed two evils. One, they've forsaken me. They've forgotten that I'm the fountain of living waters, which is representative of a God quality of life that only comes from him and nothing else. God said, you've forgotten me, forsaken me. And then the second evil is you've structured your own life like a vessel that's cracked, that can't even hold anything I want to pour into you. All of my life, the living waters that I want to pour into your life so you can live your life like I've lived mine, you don't even qualify because of the cracks in the structure of your life. Can't even hold water. When I read that recently, I did a Google search, and I just love living in the 21st century. You know, you don't have to go to the library. I don't even know why they build libraries anymore. Anybody remember the Dewey Decimal System? I mean, the old ways, you'd have to get a ride down to the library, walk in there, and you had to be a card-carrying member. Be sure that hadn't expired. Then you had to be sure that the last book you rented, you had paid your late dues, or you couldn't rent the new one now. Then you go up to this physical cabinet and search through the drawers alphabetically and otherwise for whatever book or subject you're looking for. And then finally, after you thumbed through 10,000 cards, and hopefully they were in their right place, then you say, oh, that's the book I'm wanting, and they're telling me it's on aisle so-and-so, and it's on shelf so-and-so between this one and that one. Okay, and then you put the card back, and then you go looking for that aisle, and then you have to run the risk on, well, it's not in the right place. Somebody has mixed that book up now, and there's a million books in here, no telling where that one, because it's not where it belongs. Or somebody's already checked that one out. Now you don't have to do any of that. Just punch in two keywords on your phone and any information you want is whoop, right there, right now. So when I read this verse of scripture, my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And they've honed themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. I remembered the phrase, the cliche that we've doesn't hold water. How many times have we, oh, your plan doesn't hold water? And I did a research on it, where that phrase came from, what it really means, and you can do the same thing. I went to books.google.com, type in doesn't hold water, and it means not suitable, doesn't meet the standard. So what God is literally saying is, you have made for yourselves broken vessels that leak and they don't meet the standard for the living water I want to pour into your life. Cisterns, broken, that doesn't meet the standard, not suitable for God's living water to be poured into us. Now, the bottom line is this. And it is good news. Now, maybe this has been like a Band-Aid. We just pulled it off as quickly as we could. I know it could have been quicker. But we end with good news, and it's this. Divine guidance is not complicated when you seriously want to hear God speak. Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I leave you, because if I don't leave, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, cannot come. But when he has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, if we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and if we know the convicting power of God working in our lives, if we have that kind of sensitivity to God, then divine guidance, God leading us day by day in our life, is not complicated. I have a simple theology on that, and you've heard me preach it for years. It's hard to miss God. That's my faith. It's easy to hear from Him. I live my life that way. I live my life believing that it's hard to miss God. Now, it's easy to resist and rebel if you want to do that. But so far as hearing Him speak truth, well, my Lord, we were born with a measure of it just because of the conscience He's given us that prevents us from doing wrong things, if we will hear that at least. But divine guidance is something that we qualify. It's a perk and a benefit of being a child of God. The Holy Spirit will guide us, tell us the truth, direct us. And it's not complicated. I want to give you some real good news. Psalm 32 in verse 8. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Is that not good news? I'm about to upgrade my Facebook status. Well, I don't even have one. It'd be worth going on Facebook and having a status just to post that one right there. I'm about to change my favorite verse and go with that one. My favorite now for the last few decades, Psalm 68:19 is my favorite verse. Blessed be the Lord who loads me down every day with His many benefits. I like that one. This one here is almost that good, if not just as. God says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. But what is our responsibility to cash in on that promise? We've got to be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of God. How are we going to let the Holy Spirit guide us when we're insensitive? We're calloused. We could care less what He has to say. No, we've got to yield to Him and be sensitive to Him if we're going to let the Holy Spirit guide us along the best pathway for our life and advise us and watch over us every step of the way. Now, you can hear God's voice even by reading the Bible. Now, I won't ask for a show of hands. I'm guilty of my own self. I'd have to raise my own hand. Some days go by and I don't open the book. Now, I do think about Scripture. In fact, before I get out of bed, I'll try to get one in the forefront of my spirit, just a promise from God. Before I even get out of bed, I try to find the core of who I am and realize I am a spirit and I'm alive again today. And I'm blessed to be alive again today. And so I have that much going on, but it's awfully easy to let a day go by without seeking God's word on a matter. We live in such a distracting age. Well, my attention goes 1,000 different directions, and so do you. I'm just confessing right here, but I get 800 channels at my house. And I watch the same two or three. I watch 20-year-old 30-minute sitcoms. They're 20 years old, and to me, that's better than the new. So, I mean, but it's awfully easy to let your day get filled and carried away with other stuff without hearing God say anything. But the truth is, if you want God to guide you, and He promised He would, He said, I will guide you along the best pathway for you. If you really want to take Him up on that, open the book and hear Him speak. You can hear God's voice by reading the Bible. God can cause one verse to jump off the page. Charles Spurgeon. And I'm glad I'm not like him in always. Even though he was a great preacher, a revivalist. He pastored a church, I believe, of 6,000 people 200 years ago. Before there was a mega church. before there was a microphone system. How do you do that? 6,000 people would come hear this man preach every week. And he was a hefty fella. And some historians say that when he went to the pulpit, he carried his belly. Sometimes I feel like I have to do that too. And he would lay his belly on the podium and preach. Now, don't make fun of Uncle Charles, because here's what he said that's the truth. He wrote this, Charles Spurgeon: "When I have been in trouble, I have read the Bible until a verse seemed to stand out of the book and salute me." You can hear God speak by reading the Bible. My God, give us those moments of Holy Spirit conviction when even in reading the Bible, a truth leaps off the pages and stares us eye to eye and salutes us. And then finally, talk about God's promise. "I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you." The good news comes in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. The Amplified Bible says it like this: "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts like an umpire." Just let the peace of God rule in your heart like an umpire. I'm glad the Amplified Bible puts that in there, like an umpire. The umpire is the one who will pronounce that you're safe or you're off base. The umpire is the one with the authority to settle a dispute. The umpire is the voice of authority that will speak clearly into a situation when you may be wondering and have a doubt. Did he make it or did he not? Am I in good standing or am I way off base? The voice of the umpire speaks and settles that dispute with finality. And we don't have to work hard at this. The word does not say force the peace. It says let. Just let the peace of God rule in your hearts like an umpire. God, give us a sensitivity in this day and age to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Would you stand with me, please? Everybody stand. I'd like for the men and women who serve on our prayer team to come.